We're holding on page Tzadik Beis in Brachos, still the middle of Ois Kuf Chaf Gimel, 10 lines from the top of the page. Continuing and finishing up today, hopefully, the whole matter of dreams. The Gemara says, Tanan Abanan, Shloshim Malachim Haim, there are three particular kings where if you see them in a dream, then it has special significance. Again, Meforshim discuss, are we talking about you actually see them and how would you know it's them? You know, like we said, maybe they're wearing a name tag or maybe like you see them doing something that is described about them in Pesukim or Midrashim or whatever, but it could instead mean that maybe you see their names written out. Anyway, Haroi David Bachaloim, if a person sees David HaMelech in a dream, he can look forward to that he's going to achieve chassidus, because we know that David calls himself in the pasuk Shomer Nafshi Ki Chassidoni. We went in at the beginning of the Masechta, we had the whole thing where David says to Hashem what a chassid he is, that he never sleeps through the night, unlike most of the kings. He involves himself personally in Shailos of Taras and Mishpacha, even though it's duty and everything. So, yeah. Shloima, if a person sees Shloima HaMelech in a dream, Yitzap al Chachma, he can look forward to that he's going to achieve Chachma, because Shloima was a Chacham b'kol adam. Achav, on the other hand, if he sees King Achav in a dream, Yidak min ha-poronus, then he should be concerned about that punishment is coming his way, because we see in particular that Tzlach points out why Achav more than all the other kings who were to show him. So because the Mishnah says on him in Sanhedrin, he's one of the few who lost his place in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba. He's one of the few that's mentioned over there who lost his place in Olam Haba, and in this world also he was killed. So therefore, like he got it in both. Other Mephoshim point out also Achav. We find on the other hand he was extremely successful. The Gemara in Megillah mentions that he was one of the few kings in history who ruled over the entire known world. And yet, on the other hand, though, look what happened to him in the end. There is, by the way, there's a Gemara at the very end of Yuma that uses the expression Yidag Kol Hashana Kula about when a person has a certain negative thing happen to him on Yom Kippur, and there's a Sicha where that ever talks about it. It doesn't mean that Yidag, you should be sitting there worrying and schwitzing away the whole year. It means you should put that Daiga to good use and use it as a motivation to bring himself to a higher level. So Bapashtus, it means the same kind of thing over here. Achav himself, by the way, we do find in the Pesukim, eventually he did tshuva after the whole thing where he killed Navos, and Eliyahu HaNavi comes and tells him the dogs are going to lick up your blood and your whole dynasty is going to be wiped out or whatever. He did a shtickle tshuva. So maybe there's that also, that it's if that person sees him in a dream, it should motivate him to do the same thing. Also, continues the Gemara, it continues the Braisa.
So Gimel. The Idag Minachavanut Gavay Achav and Nirmia would be the same thing, because how could be?
Right. Well, I mean, I guess there's different kinds of Puranas, right? Gimel Nevi'im Haim. Then there are three books of Nevi'im that, if a person sees them in a dream, has significance. Haroya Sefer Malachim, if he sees the book of Malachim in a dream, and Malachim talks about the kings of Yisrael and of Yehuda. So they all achieved greatness. And in fact, the point is that Tzlach says, even though some of them were Rishoyim, but the fact is they did all achieve greatness. Therefore, Yitzhak al-Abdullah, he can look forward to that he's going to achieve greatness as well. Yechezko Yitzhak al-Chachma, if he sees Sefer Yechezko in a dream, then he should look forward to Chachma, because Yechezko begins with the Maisa Merkava. You need to be a great Chacham in order to understand Maisa Merkava, so therefore that's the association. Yeshaya Yitzapel Nechama, if he sees Sefer Yeshaya, he can look forward to Nechama, to comfort, because most of Sefer Yeshaya is about that. You have here and there are divorce of punishment in Yeshaya. We have the first one we learn on Shabbos Chazon, but the Gemara in Bava Basra summarizes and says Yeshaya Kula Nechemta, that basically the entire Sefer Yeshaya is all about Nechama for the Jewish people. Yumiya Yideg Med Paranus, on the other hand, if he sees Sefer Yumiya, which is mostly, as that same Gemara says, is mostly divorce about the disaster of the Churban, then he should worry about Paranus. Now, we said three things, we're listing four. So what's going on over here? So on the side, so Yad Yosef mentioned that Ovisid of Nassim, which also has this Braisa, leaves out Yeshaya. The Hagois Agro in the Gemara leaves out instead Yechezkel, or rather the other way around. Ovisid of Nassim leaves out Yechezkel, who's only going in his Hagois, leaves out Yeshaya. A different explanation that Tzlach says is that the Malachim is actually not part of this group of three. What it is having mentioned individual Malachim, that if a person sees them, he can look forward to Chassidus or Chachma or whatever. So now the Gemara is continuing. If a person sees Sefer Malachim in general, which describes those kings and many others, but even though some of them were Rishoyim, nevertheless, it's Tzapel Gdolah. Then separately from that is if a person sees these various Sfarim of Nevi. Next, Shloisha Ksuvim G'doylim Heim. There are three large Sfarim of Ksuvim, where if a person sees them in his dream, it means something. Haroya Sefer Tilim Yitzapel Chassidus. If he sees Sefer Tilim, you can look forward to that he'll achieve Chassidus. Because again, who composed Sefer Tilim? Dovid HaMelech. And it's all Shidus V'Tishvachis to Hashem, which is what a Chassid would do. Mishle Yitzapel Chachma. If he sees Sefer Mishle, he can look forward to Chachma. Again, because Mishle encapsulates the Chachma of Shloim HaMelech. Iyov Yidag Mina Puranus. If he sees Sefer Iyov, then he has to be worried about Puranus, as in fact what happened to Iyov, all the troubles that he went through. Then Gimok Ksuvim Ktanim Heim. Then there are three small Sfarim of Ksuvim that have significance in a dream. Haroya Shirashirim B'chaloyim Yitzapel Chassidus. If a person sees the Sefer of Shirashirim, the Gila of Shirashirim in a dream, then he can look forward to Chassidus, because Rashi says Shirashirim is its full, the whole thing is from beginning to end is Yiras Shamayim and the love of the Eibishter that every Yid has. So therefore, it represents that the person will achieve Chassidus. There's a famous word that's, I think, from either one of the Rebbeim or one of the Elter Chassidim, I don't remember, that says that if Shlomo HaMelech had known about the relationship between a Rebbe and a Chassid, then he would have used that as the framework for Shir HaShirim rather than the love of a husband to a wife. But the point is that that's what it represents. Kehelis, what? Yeah, Kehelas Yitzapel Chachma. If you see Sefer Kehelas, you can look forward to Chachma, because again, Kehelas is another Sefer that gives us the Chachma of Shlomo HaMelech. Kinos Yidag Mina Puranus. But if he sees Megillas Eicha, which is also known as Kinos, then we know what Eicha is all about. So therefore, it means that he has that to worry about. Now, one that's not part of that group, the Haroya Megillas Esther Nes Nasaloi. Now, separately, not part of that group of three. If a person sees Megillas Esther, which is all about the Nes of Purim, then he should know it means a Nes is going to happen. So we're listing that separately. It's not part of that group of three. There's a Hagoris Rav Elazar Moshe Horowitz in the back of the Gemara, which has an interesting chap on it. This Rav Elazar Moshe was the father-in-law of the Torah Tzmimah, but he himself was a distinguished Rav. Anyway, so he points out there's a Gemara in Megillah that discusses the question, is Esther actually one of the Kisvei HaKodesh? Was it written with Ruach HaKodesh? There's opinions over there that say that no. So the halacha is not like that, obviously, which is why it's considered one of the 24 books of Tanakh. But there are such opinions. So he says, our Braisa over here may be following that opinion. Therefore, it can't say Shloisha Ksuvim Ktanim Heim and list Megillas Esther, because it's not part of Ksuvim, according to that opinion. But nevertheless, the fact is, if a person sees it, he can look forward to Nisi. Next, Gimel Chachamim Heim. There are three Chachamim, three Tanoim, where if a person sees them in a dream, then it has significance. Haroya Rebbe b'chaloyim, if he sees Rebbe in a dream, Yitzapel Chachma, you can look forward to Chachma. Rebbe was the leader of the Chachamim in his times. He composed the Mishnayos, so therefore he's the symbol of Chachma. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Yitzapel Ashiris. If he sees Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, and the Gemara mentions in a few places that he was fabulously rich earlier in the Masechta when we had the whole story of how Rabbi Gamliel was deposed and Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah was appointed as Nasi instead, one of the points that the Chachamim took into consideration what is that he's very rich, and that way if he has to bribe the Roman officials, he'll be able to. So therefore, he's a symbol of Ashiris, so Yitzapel Ashiris. He can look forward to achieving wealth. Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha Yidag Mina Puranus. On the other hand, if he sees Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, this is the regular Rabbi Shmuel, the Chava of Rabbi Akiva, then he should be worried about Puranus, because he was actually one of the Asorah Arugim Malchus. We know from Eila Ezkera and from various Gemaras and Midrashim that they killed him in a particularly cruel way. They stripped the skin off his face. So therefore, so it represents Puranus. Rabbi Nissim Gaon, actually on the side of the Gemara, has a different girsa. His girsa is that the first one is if a person sees Rabbi Akiva, then he can look forward to achieving Chassidus. And he explains, Rabbi Akiva, of course, was one of the greatest of the Chachamim, but his Chassidus was even greater than his Chochma. And we find a Gemara in Sanhedrin that refers to Rabbi Akiva particularly as a Chassid. The Gemara mentions over there when it says, in a couple of Mishnayos over there, when Rabbi Akiva says that the Dor HaMidbar doesn't have a Chelek L'Olam Haba, and that the Yadas Korach doesn't have, and then Aseres HaShavatim aren't going to return. And the Gemara says, Shavkir Rabbi Akiva L'Chassidus. Rabbi Akiva, the great Chassid, was always sticking up for the Jewish people. How could he be saying such a thing? So we see that he's a symbol of Chassidus. So that would be the first one. The second one would be if a person sees Rebbe in his girsa, it's not Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, but Rebbe, that he should look forward to Ashiros, because Rebbe was also extremely rich. Oh, no, actually, no, I'm sorry. He says that Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, he says, because for example, Rebbe, or no, he doesn't say, all the Mefarshim say, we don't list Rebbe as far as Ashiros, even though Rebbe was extremely rich, because we also find the Gemara that says he never had Hanah from his wealth. He says, before he passed away, he lifted up his 10 fingers to Shemayim and said, I never had even my littlest finger Hanah from this world. So therefore, it's more of a Lazim and Azalia as the symbol of Ashiros. So that's what it is. Rabbi Nissim Goren explains that even though, of course, Rabbi Lazim and Azalia was a Chacham, that's in the story with Rabbi Gamliel, we said before, one reason why they appointed him as Nasi is because of his tremendous Chachma, but still, like, his wealth is more, he's more noted for, kind of. And then Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha, he says, not only the fact that Rabbi Shmuel ben Elisha was one of the Asar Arug Malchus, you find even when he was younger, you have the Gemara in Gittin, in the Sugya about the Churban over there, where it tells about that as a boy, he was captured by the Romans and taken to a jail in Rome, and Rabbi Yeshua found him over there and spent a huge amount of money to get him out of jail. So you see, both at the beginning and the end of his life, there was Peronis involved, and therefore Rabbi Nissim says that's the connection the Gemara is making over here. Then the Gemara continues, Gimel Talmidei Chachamim Heim. Now, then there were three Talmidim of Chachamim, meaning, in other words, we use the word Talmid Chacham a little bit inexactly. Really. When we say somebody is a Talmid Chacham, we mean that he's a great knowledgeable person in Torah. Strictly speaking, really what it is the person, the Rav himself, who knows, like the Tanoim and Amoraim, themselves are Chachamim. Talmidei Chachamim, strictly speaking, means the Talmidim of the Chacham. So if you look, for example, in some prints of the Rambam, for example, when he uses the word Talmud Chacham, he'll actually, in those prints, they actually have him writing instead Talmud Chachamim. So in other words, it means a Talmud of the Chachamim. So he's not yet a Chacham himself, but he's still a Talmud of the Chachamim. So here the Gemara is using that in the same sense. So these are people who didn't get smicha, but they were Talmudim of the great Chachamim of their times. So again, if a person sees them in his dream, then it has significance. Haroya ben Azai b'chaloyim, if he sees ben Azai in a dream, yitzapelo chasidus, he can look forward to achieving chasidus because ben Azai was particularly known for that. The Gemara in Chagiga tells us about the famous Arbor Shenichlisu LaParadis, the four Chachamim who went into the Paradis, very high levels of Olam Esel Yonim, and what they saw over there. And it says there that ben Azai was so overcome by it that he passed away. And the Gemara says on there that on that it says, Yoko ba'eni Hashem hamov sala chasidus. It's very difficult for Hashem, Kav Yochol, that his Hasidim have to pass away, and that refers to Ben Azai. So we see that he was noted for his Chasidus. Ben Zoyma Yitzhak L'Chochma. If a person sees Ben Zoyma in a dream, he can look forward to Chochma. We're going to have later on in the Perek that it's going to explain the tremendous level of Chochma that Ben Zoyma achieved. They are also in the Gemara. They are in Chagiga. It also makes mention of that. Acher Yudak Miraporanus, if he sees Acher in a dream and we know what happened to him, then he should look, then he has to worry about Poranus, because Acher, we know, he went off the Derech, Kitzit Benatias, and for many years after, the Gemara there in Chagiga tells us that for many years after he passed away, he couldn't even go into Gehenim yet until a mayor was able to get him into there and have smoke come up from his grave. And then 100-odd years later, Rabbi Yochanan was finally able to get him out of Gehenim and get the smoke to stop rising from his grave. So all told, in other words, this is a person sees that in a dream, it should motivate him to do tshuva. And by the way, the Gemara mentions over there in Chagiga that when Rabbi Meir remained as Talmud, and the whole rest of his life, he's trying to get Elusha ben Avuya Acher to do tshuva, and finally on his deathbed he gave a cry and then he passed away. And Rabbi Meir says, I think he passed away with a hero tshuva. So now we're saying a person sees him in a dream, he should have more than a hero tshuva. Next, kol minei chayis yofes l'chaloyim. A person sees any kinds of wild animals in a dream, it's a good thing. Chutz min apil v'hakoyf v'hakipoid, except for an elephant, which the Gemara is going to ask soon. We said before that elephants are ploys, pilei ploys, nasuloy. A koif, which is a monkey, and a kipoid. Rashi over here, Rashi translates a kipoid as a creature called a marten in English. It's like it looks kind of like a weasel with a long tail. There's different other mephoshim talk about, and then there's different gersois over here that it may instead mean a porcupine or a hedgehog or some creature like that. There's actually, I think I think there's a Tosfos someplace, or there's somebody someplace who explains that there are actually three different creatures that are called kipoid in Tanakh and in the Gemara. There's the marten that Rashi is referring to over here, a hedgehog, and also a kind of wild predatory bird. So the kipoid over here, the Pashtos was saying chayus, so it can't be the bird, but it could be either of the other ones. Why are those no good? So Rashi says they all look very unusual. They all look very unusual. So like they look, there's something unusual, something scary like that in a dream is not necessarily such a good thing. The Meiri explains because actually they look a little bit like a person. An elephant, for example, has certain human-like characteristics, except that it's not. It has a trunk. A monkey, same thing. A kippah, he doesn't explain why it looks in what way it's like a person. So the Gemara asks, well, I'm a Maharaya Pil Bachalayim Pela Nasalo. Didn't we learn before that if a person sees an elephant in a dream, it shows that a Pela is going to be done for him? And we discussed before a couple of days ago, the Sicha, where the Rebbe talks about that Pela means something even beyond Ness, means that Derech HaTeva is not even Tofus Makam. Actually, what we said over there was that if he sees Pinchas, then he sees Pela. We said if he sees an elephant, then we said Ploois Nasalo in the plural. Anyway, so the answer is like Kasha. The answer is, as the Gemara gave over there, Hod Misarag, Hod Lo Misarag, depends whether the creature is Misarag or not. The Rashi gives two explanations. One is that it means that it's wearing a saddle, and the other one is that it's wearing a bridle over its mouth to be able to control it. Either way, the idea is if you see it in a dream in a way that you can control it, it's a good thing. Otherwise, not so much. Next, all kinds of metal that a person sees in a dream are a good sign for him, with the exception of a mar, which is a shovel, a pestle, which is a chisel or some creature or some tool similar to that, and a kaudrim, which is an axe. So all of those things, it actually says, all of those are destructive tools. Therefore, seeing them in a dream is not such a good thing. However, that's only if he sees them with their handles on, because with their handles, then they're able to be used for destructive purposes. But in other words, if a person sees, let's say, a blade of a shovel without a handle, then there's nothing to it. Next, kol minei peiros yofin l'chalom, all kinds of fruit are good to see in a dream, chutz mipagei tmara, with the exception of unripe dates. Kol minei yirokos yofin l'chalom, all kinds of vegetables, a person sees them in a dream, are good for him, chutz miroshei lefasos, except for heads of turnips. We had a few days ago in the whole story with Abaya and Rava and the dreams that Behedya interpreted. So we had over there that Rava one time saw two turnips in his dream, and Behedya told him that it means he's going to get beaten up with two clubs. So the turnips, they're shaped like clubs, they're hard like clubs. Elsewhere, the Gemara mentions they're not really good for your digestive system either, so therefore they're not a good thing. So the Gemara says, on the contrary, I didn't become rich until I saw turnip heads in my dream. The answer is, the difference is, Rab saw them in his dream when they were still on those stalks attached to the ground. Then they're a good thing to see. Then fakert, it means they're vegetables that grow, their roots that grow very quickly and very large. So therefore, they're a good simen that a person is going to become rich. What we're talking about, where it's not good and where Rava saw them in his dream, is where he sees them detached from the ground. Next, culminates sivonin yofin machaloim, all kinds of colors, the colorful fabrics or whatever that a person might see in his dream are good. Chutz menat tcheles, with the exception of tcheles. Why not? What's wrong with tcheles? Rashi says because tcheles is a greenish color. Now, greenish is when a person is sick, for example, then his face is greenish. That's not a very good thing. So therefore, tcheles is associated with that. And Mefoshim also point out that in the parasha of Tzitzis, when we have over there the Nosna Tzitzis Takon of Pesot Tcheles, Rashi brings at the end over there a whole drasha from Rav Moshe Adarshan about the deeper significance of various details in the mitzvah of Tzitzis. And one thing he mentions over there is that Tcheles is related to an Aramaic word meaning bereaved, where a person loses his children. Rachman Latzlan. In Hebrew, that's called shochul, like vani kasher shocholti shocholti. In Aramaic, the word for it is tochal, with a tough instead of a shin. So therefore, so Rashi mentions over there that therefore tcheles is to remind us of makas b'choras when the Mitzrayim lost their children. So that can also be related to over here why it's not a good thing to see in a dream. And the last thing, kominei ufis yofin machaloim, all kinds of birds a person sees in a dream are good. Chutz min kari v'kifofa v'kupa roi, with the exception of kari and kifofa, Rashi translates as different kinds of owls. two different subspecies of owls. The corbeau Rashi translates as the French word Rashi uses over here is actually a mole, but that's a mole is not a bird. So there are they explain that maybe what Rashi means is actually a bat which looks similar to a mole, a bat among flying creatures. Oifus in Gemara terminology and in Pesukim doesn't mean birds necessarily; it means flying creatures. So a bat is a flying creature similar to a mole underground in that they neither of them sees with their eyes. They both use other methods of locating their location. Their bodies look similar, etc. So maybe Rashi means that. In any case, Rashi explains that the various kinds of owls have cheeks that look like human cheeks. Most birds, you know, they have a beak in front and then their head slopes backwards from it. Owls have more human-like faces. So therefore, Rashi says, therefore they're megunim, therefore they're ugly looking among birds, and bats also look unusual among flying creatures, and therefore we're saying those are not a good simon for a dream. Next, since we're mentioning various groups of three that a person sees in or that a person sees in a dream, so now the Gemara digresses to talk about some other groups of three. Later on, we'll get back to matters involving dreams. So the Gemara continues, there are three things that go into the body, but the body doesn't get any hanah from it, like it doesn't get any nourishment from it. They are gad gedonius. The first one, so gad gedonius, Rashi translates over here with a French word that means cherries. There are other places, there's a Gemara in Erevin that mentions this kind of food also. Rashi over there translates it as coriander. You have in Hebrew, that's called zeragad, like you have the mon is compared by mon kizragadu. So Bapashlis, I guess Rashi understands that there's a connection between God and God Gedonius. Reb Nissim Goin over here in the Gemara gives a different explanation. He says it's a kind of clover. Whatever the case, so it's not nourishing. The second one is vakafnius, is a kind of very bad quality dates. And the third one, a page tamara, and unripe dates. So all those three things, they go into the body, but the body doesn't get any nourishment or any hanah out of them. But pashtos, what it means is not only doesn't get any nourishment, but there's no real flavor to them also. So it makes it a little hard to understand how good gedonius could be cherries. At least they taste good. It seems to fit better with Nissim Goin's explanation. That's a kind of clover, but whatever the case, anyway. Next, gimel ein nechnosim laguf v'aguf nanamehem. There are three things that don't go into the body, but the body still has hanah from it. Elohein sicha rechitza v'tashmish. Anointing, when a person anoints himself with oils or creams, bathing, and tashmish. So all those three things, a person, they don't enter the body, but a person has hanah from it. Maharsha says the relevance of it is, that is why you don't make a bracha on the hanah from those. You could argue, I mean, you're supposed to make a bracha on any hanah you get from the world. Why shouldn't you make a bracha when you take a nice hot bath, for example? So that's based on this, because it's not nichnas laguf. So smell is an exception. We learned earlier in the Masechta, because it says kol neshama, talakalaluyah, therefore you say bracha on smell, but other than that. Next, gimel me'ein ha'olam haba, there are three things that are a semblance of olam haba. Elohein Shabbos, Shemesh, v'tashmish. So Shabbos, Maharsha says, on the face of it, the reason is because Shabbos is a Yom Menucha. But on the other hand, that's not a direct Hanah like the other two things we're mentioning. A person gets Hanah from the sun and Tashmish, we're going to explain in a second. So rather, he says the reason is because of the good food you have on Shabbos. So that is a semblance of, that's Me'en Olam Haba, the good food, the good extra food that you eat on Shabbos. So the Gemara asks, Tashmish demai. What do we mean by Tashmish in this context? Ilema Tashmish amita. Do we mean having relations? It's true, it's very enjoyable. But on the other hand, it also weakens a person's body. If you want something to be Me'en Olam Haba, it has to be something that has good to it with no downside. And here there's a downside. So Ella, Tashmish nekovim. Rather, what we mean is the use of a person's holes in his body that he goes to the bathroom. The hanah that a person gets from that is me'ein olam haba. In what sense? So Ben Yehoyada says a vort on it. You know, when a person goes to the bathroom, inevitably not everything comes out. There's still a little filth left out inside his body. In the actual olam haba, the person's filth, the gashmias and beruchnias, will be completely cleaned out. So therefore, now going to the bathroom is only me'ein of that. And as far as the sun, he says the same thing. You enjoy the sunlight now. Lost in love, you have the famous thing that it says, "Hakadosh Baruch Hu motzi cham minarutika," that Hashem will take the sun out of its sheath, and the tzaddikim will enjoy it much more intensely than they do now. So it's only a me'ein bit. Next, gimel meshivin daita shaladam. There are three things that restore a person's soul. Meaning, in other words, Marsha says, if a person is worried, if a person is in a bad mood, then they help take away the worry and the bad mood. Elohein kol umara v'reach, a beautiful sound. So Rashi gives an example. Let's say you hear singing or you hear a woman's attractive voice, that helps cheer a person up. Which is why, by the way, of course, we know kol b'yishareva. What?
Why call Isha? Why not call men?
So Rashi gives an example. For example, Koil Oriv Shal Isha. That, for example, the sweet voice of a woman. You're asking why Rashi mentions that particularly. Maybe because women's voices are generally higher pitched and more attractive to hear. There's a reason why we say Koil Isha Erva, after all. In fact, there's an interesting medrash that says, I think it's actually a Gemara someplace also, I don't remember, I think it's a Gemara in Nidra, that mentions why is it, Taka, that women's voices are higher pitched and carry better than men's voices? And so, well, we know Koil Isha Erva, but why did Hashem make it that way, that their voices, Taka, are higher pitched and sweeter to hear? So the Gemara explains, because let's consider where Adam and Chava were created from respectively. Adam was created from the dirt. You bang on the dirt, it doesn't really make much of a sound. On the other hand, a woman was created from a bone, from Adam Rishon's bone, and you strike a bone, it makes a very resonant sound. So therefore, in keeping with that, women's voices are very resonant like that. So maybe that's why Rashi mentions the point of Koil Oriv Shalisha. Umara, and a beautiful sight, v'reach, and a good smell. The next one, gimel marchivin daita shaladim. There are three things that expand a person's das, which means that Marsha says. So now after the worry and the fear and whatever have gone away, now you have marchivin means that now a person is more able to look for tanuga elamazeh. Now, Tanuga Ulamazeh in and of themselves are not a good thing. But the point is, there's actually a sikha where the Rebbe refers to that what it means is more once the person is in that state of mind, it means that now he's able more, he's in a frame of mind to be able to use the Tanuga Ulamazeh for their proper purposes to serve the Eibishter. So that's what it means. So what are the three things? Elohein Dirana, the Ishana, the Kalim Noim. A beautiful house, a beautiful wife, and beautiful Kalim, which Kalim can mean either clothes or utensils. In that sikha, actually, the Rebbe mentions the point that it's the Isha Noah who brings all of that about. She's the one who makes the house nice. And we mean not just the physical house, we mean also ultimately the Jidav Tachtonim that it brings about. And the Kalim Noim, all of that is thanks to the woman of the house. Next, Chamisha Echad Mishishim. There are five things that each of them is 1/60th of the major thing. So 1/60th is... So first of all, Marsha says that 60 is lav davka. Tosfos mentions in some places that sometimes the Gemara uses the number 60 just as an indefinite large number, but also Marsha mentions, various other achronim also mention that we have, there's the concept of bitul b'shishim, so therefore, but you still have the mamoshus of it. So the same way over here, it's very little like the real thing, but it's like the tiniest semblance of it. The Elohein, they were as follows. Eish, Dvash, Shabbos, Vashena, V'chaloyim. Fire, each of them is 1/60th of something else. Fire, honey, Shabbos, sleep, and a dream. So each of them is 1/60th of a ruchniyistic thing. Eish, Echad, Mishishim, L'Gehenim. So fire is 1/60th of Gehenim. So you think how intense and painful fire is, realize that that Gehenim is far worse. The Alter Rebbe brings, by the way, at the end of Igeres HaTshuva, he quotes from the Ramban over there that one moment in Gehenim would be you think of it, if you were to have a person were to have Rachman al-Tlan 70 years of the kind of suffering that Eov went through, and you look in the Psukim over there, you see how intense it was. Then it doesn't even begin to compare to even a short time in Gehenim. Dvash Echad Mishishim Amon, honey is 1/60th of the sweetness of the mon. Shabbos Echad Mishishim Lan Abba. Shabbos is 1/60th of the enjoyment of Olam Abba. Shena Echad Mishishim Lamisa. Sleep is 1/60th of death, which is Taka why we wash Negel Vaso when we get up from sleeping. And chaloyim echem mishishim nevuah, and a dream is 1/60th of nevuah, as we said before, that a dream can be a nevuah ketan. Next, continues the Gemara, shisha dvarim simin yafa l'chol. There are six things which, if they happen to a sick person, then they're a good simin for him. Eluhain, and they are itush, sneezing, zeya, sweating, shilshul, diarrhea, keri, having an emission of zera, vishena, sleep, v'chaloyim, and having a dream. And each of them, we have a pasuk that hints to that point. Maharsha points out, if you look at the context of these psukim and the simple meaning of these psukim, they don't necessarily refer to these kinds of things being a good thing. The Gemara is using it as kind of a simen for these things. So itosh tichtiv ati shosav tohel ur. You have a pasuk, the context of the pasuk is talking about the levyasan. It's sneezing shine light, so to speak. The levyasan sneezes and you see a tremendous light in the water. So the point is, we're darshaning, we're using as a simen, as though the sneezing brings about the light, that now the person is in a state of ur rather than, and he's going to recover from his sickness. What? Hashem tells Adam after the chate tzedas, with the sweat of your brow, you'll eat bread. So again, the remez is that because you're sweating, the person is sick, but now he's sweating, in the future he'll be able to eat bread, he won't die from the sickness. The pasuk says that soya is quick to open up. Rashi explains the word soya means to pour out. So it means a keli that you pour out. So it's quickly opening up and it's pouring out. And he won't die and go down to the grave. So we see a remez in that when the body is pouring out soya, then it means he's gonna recover. Maharsha points out, you shouldn't think, by the way, that it's soya as in related to the word soya with an aleph. They're not. One's an aleph, one's an ayin. You can't interchange them. But no, like Rashi says, soya means like a keli, that means like a bottle or something that you pour out. The pasuk says he'll see seed and he'll live long days. So it's a nevuah talking about the Jewish people collectively or about Mashiach, whatever. In context, it means that the Jewish people and Mashiach personally will have many children and will live long. But we're using it again as a remez that the sick person has seen zera and therefore he's going to live long days. Iyov says, and in one of his speeches, he says, if only I could sleep, then there would be rest for me. So again, we're using it as a remez for the idea. When the sick person is able to sleep, then good, he has rest and he'll recover from his illness. And chaloyim b'chtiv v'sachli meini v'hachayeni, Chizkiyahu says after he recovered from his illness, v'sachli meini, again, the simple meaning of v'sachli meini is you made me healthy, v'hachayeni, and you made me alive, but we're doushing v'sachli meini m'losh and chaloyim. Next, there are six things that cure a sick person from a sickness, and the healing is a healing. In other words, he'll stay healthy. We had this earlier in the Masechta. Elohein, kruv, cabbage, utrodin, spinach or beets or some beets, I think is the usual translation of it, or some related vegetable. This what? So in modern Hebrew, tered means spinach. But in Gemara terminology, it seems that trudin means beets. Yeah.
Beets?
Yeah.
Right? Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. The sisin yevashin, dried sisin, which is a plant related to mint. Rashi seems to have a girsa mace sisin, which means that you take the sisin and you cook it or steep it in water and you drink the tea or the soup. The kava, the stomach of an animal, specifically kava. Bishol poliol, so poliol or foliol or however it's pronounced, is the French name of the plant. It's a plant. In English, it's called pennyroyal. It's related to mint. And actually saying bishol, in other words, you cook the sisin and you drink the soup of it. The kava, so the yevashin, dry. So in other words, you take dry sisin and you make a soup out of them. The kava, the stomach of an animal, specifically the kava. Specifically, well, not kishka so much. Kishka is the intestines. Kava specifically is the fourth stomach. You know that kosher animals have four stomachs. The fourth stomach, which is similar to a human stomach, it's what has digestive juices in it, is called the keva. We know, for example, you give the koyin, the zroyim, chayayim, the keva. After the stomach, then you have the intestines. That's the kishkis. That's something else. What? I don't think they sell them in the store nowadays. Maybe in specialty stores or something. But when they shecht animals, they have a stomach. What they do with the stomach nowadays, I have no idea. Maybe they end up in hot dogs. Yeah, it could be. Anyway, the heres and the womb of an animal, the yeseres hakoved and the diaphragm of an animal. So those six things we're saying are good for a sick person and they cure him for good. The yesh omim af dogim ptanim, some say also small fish, the loy oid, and not only that, elish dogim ptanim mafrin and mavrin ko gufish aladam, not only that, small fish make a person's whole body healthy and fruitful. So it can mean herring, sardines, anchovies, different. What? I don't know. It depends what size herring are. I don't know. I don't like herring anyhow, so I don't know what size they are. What?
Anchovies.
Anchovies, sardines, yeah, any kind of small fish like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. We had earlier in the Masechta. In fact, we had earlier in the Masechta. We had some things about that small. The Gemara had mentioned over there that fish that are not fully grown are not so good for you. In other words, if you catch them when they're small, but when you have, we learned over there that when you have fish that naturally grow to a certain small size, then yeah, they're good for you. Next, yud dvarim machzirin as a choyl l'chol. On the other hand, there are 10 things that make a sick person relapse and become sick again. V'chol yekosha, and now having done those, his sickness is even worse than it was before. Eluhein ha'oichol b'sar shur. The first one is when the sick person eats beef, basar shamin or fat meat, basar tzoli or roast meat, v'sar tziporim or meat of birds, or beitz tzloya, roasted eggs. The tiglachas, getting a shave, is bad for a sick person. The shachalayim, cress, it's a type of plant that has a sharp, peppery taste to it. They used to, in those times, they used to particularly mix it with vinegar and they would eat it, and then they would eat it. The cholov, milk, the gvina, cheese, the hamerchot, and bathing in a bathhouse. The yesh omrim, some say afagozim, some say also nuts. The yesh emim af kishuin, some say also cucumbers or some what
zucchini.
In modern Hebrew kishuin is zucchini, but zucchini are native to the Americas. They didn't have them in the Gemara's times. And in Gemara terminology, kishuin means either cucumbers or some kind of melons. Yeah, there's a lot of words where in modern Hebrew they needed a name for it, so they took a name from some other context in the Gemara, and they used
it.
Well, that's the Gemara is going to ask. So, 1 second. Tonet ve Rabbi Shmuel, lama nikra shmon kishuin. So we learn in a braisa from the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, why is that vegetable called kishuin? Because they're as harsh and bad for the body as swords. So, therefore, so we see they're no good. But the question is, the Gemara asks, as you're going to ask, Aini, is that so? We find when Rivka was pregnant, just wondering what's going on in her stomach. Vayomer Hashem la, and Hashem told her, as Rashi says on the pasuk over there, through shame. Shnei goyim bevitnech, there are two nations in your womb, and you actually have a kriyuksiv over there. I'll teach you goyim el geyim. Don't read goyim, but rather geyim, proud people. And in fact, you have a kriyuksiv in the pasuk that way. V'amar of Yehuda Amarav, elu antoninus v'debi. That refers to many years later, Antoninus, who was descended from Esav, and Rebbe, who was descended from Yaakov, where we know they were great friends, they were both rich. And shalai pasuk mishochonam loit snoin v'loit chazeres. There was never missing from their table. They were so that right. So loit snoin v'loit chazeres v'loit kishuin. They were so rich. There was never lacking from their table. Neither radishes nor chazeres is lettuce, particularly romaine lettuce. V'loit kishuin or cucumbers. Loit meisacham v'loit meisachshamim. Neither during the summer nor during the winter. Now, what's so great about having those all year round? Toisvis and Avodah Zarah, where it also brings this. Toisvis explains the vort is that these are necessary for digestion. They had big meals that many people would eat by their tables, and they would eat a lot. And afterwards, they needed to help digest their food, so these would help digest. Marsha explains over there that Pasha, they grew them for them in greenhouses. The chiddush is these are not year-round vegetables. You can't, in those times, you couldn't get lettuce during the winter, for example, but they had greenhouses where they were able to grow them year-round. The point is that we see that if they had kishuin on their table, they must be good for you. Otherwise, why would they have something on their table, which is... In other words, the point is Hashem is telling Rivka that you're going to have two great, two proud people, two very rich people. You're going to have Yaakov and Esav. Their descendants are going to be very great, rich people, Antoninus and Rebbe, respectively. And they're going to be so rich that, as we're saying, they're even going to have these vegetables available for people on their table year round. So in other words, the point is, Hashem is telling you, you're going to have two nations, and at one point, there's going to come a point when the leaders of those two opposing nations are going to get along very well together, as Antoninus and Rebbe did, and they're going to use their wealth, each in the appropriate way. Anyway, so we see that Kishurin are good for you. The answer is, it depends whether you're talking about big ones or small ones. So small ones, like the Kirby's that they sell in the store, are good for you. Big ones are not. Okay. We learn in a Braisa, going back now to things that a person sees in a dream. Mes babayis shalom babayis. If a person sees in a dream that there's a dead person in the house, then it means there's shalom in the house. Then if he sees in a dream that he ate and drank in that house, it may even mean that the mess himself ate and drank. In other words, that he saw the person who he sees now dead in his dream. Previously, he saw him eating and drinking in the bed. Simon yofel abayis, then it's a good simon for the house. Noto klimen abayis. On the other hand, if he sees in his dream that the dead person took a keli out of the house, simon ral abayis, then it's a bad simon for the house, because, like, so to speak, the mess is taking along something from the house with him. Tirgum, or a papa, the son of a sandola. So the papa said specifically that would refer to if he sees in a dream that the mess took out shoes or sandals from the house. So Rashi says, in other words, because those are things you wear when you're going outside. So therefore, it represents like the mess is bringing outdoors with him other things. There is, by the way, something Rabbi Yehuda Achosid has in his tzavah that you shouldn't wear shoes that were previously worn by a dead person. And there are achronim, we'll talk about that, may also be based on a different understanding of our Gemara over here. We're not just talking about a person sees in a dream. We're talking about also that it means that it's not good to wear shoes that were taken off a dead person. Well, in other words, that they're not taken off, sorry, that the person wore them while he was alive. So if you have, for example, he bought shoes, but he hasn't had a chance to wear them yet, and that's different. But if you have shoes that he previously wore, it's better. Rabbi Yehuda Chassid says that other people shouldn't wear them afterwards.
The nifter,
you should throw out all the shoes. Yeah. So that may be based on a different understanding of our Gemara. Continues the Gemara, called the shokel shokhva, anything that a person sees in his dream that a dead person takes, mali, is a good simen. Barman, the son of a sandala, again, except for shoes and sandals. Behold the yohiv shokhva mali, anything that a person sees in a dream that a dead person gives him is good. Barman, after b'chardala, with the exception of dirt and mustard. Dirt, Rashi says, because it's representing that the person that the person he's giving it to in a dream is going to die and be buried in the dirt. Rashi doesn't explain about the mustard. There's an explanation because the Gemara elsewhere mentions that they used to, when they made mustard, mustard by itself is very bitter. One way they would sweeten it, the Gemara mentions in other places, they would take a live coal and put it in the mustard and extinguish it over there. So therefore, it represents that the life is being extinguished. And we're signing the Torah. So the Rebbe wanted to publicize the Haruah Machta Eretz Yisrael till Mashiach Tzidkenu comes. So we're standing literally right before the Gola. So every year has to accustom himself to Gola, put himself in a state and in a mindset of Gola, and that means by making his day into a day of Gola Pratis and making his personal place into Eretz Yisrael by doing his Avodah at this moment and at this time with the ultimate Shleimus and Machshava Dibra Maisa. As far as Bapoyo, what it means is people should work on spreading and then publicizing every place the Harav Machta Eretz Yisrael and continue doing that on the following days until Mashiach Tzidkenu actually comes, and then to actually bring us to Eretz Yisrael Kipshuta, besides the fact that anyway we say that Eretz Yisrael is going to spread and encompass all the other countries. Halacha, beginning Simin Nun Beis and Kitzur Shulchan Aruch, the Halachas of Bar Priya Eitz and Hadama and Shakol. So a fruit from a tree, you say berkia eitz, fruit that grow from the ground. For example, that includes beans, it includes includes tomatoes, cucumbers, corn, other such things, also lettuce, all kinds of things. You make berkia hadama, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, Rabbi Yehuda holds there's a distinction, but Allah is not like him. For this purpose, a tree is only called if the branches remain there in the winter as well, and then it produces new leaves from the branches. Even if the branches are very thin, then it's still considered a tree. But if the branches completely go away during the winter and all that's left is the root, then it's not called a tree. Then you say Bara Pri Hadam. The Alter Rebbe also adds the point: if the fruit and the leaves grow directly out of the roots and there's no branches at all, then it's also considered a vegetable. This is why bananas, for example, are hadama, because the banana tree itself doesn't last from one year to another. Chananah Menachah Shem Atzar Kadosh Baruch Hu Zakeh Yisrael.